everything interesting, except they won't let me talk about bear's ears. This is Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Mia Love ahead in the polls, ahead with her Democratic colleagues' endorsements. Can we get another term for Mia Love? It's Dan McKay on the far right.
College football kicks off. Go Utes. I'll be rooting for him. This is Natalie Gochner in the center, but first, this news. Good morning. I'm Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I represent the political center, and in the studio with me today, on the political left, State Senator Jim DeBacchus.
Hello, Natalie.
And on the political right, Representative Dan McKay.
Top of the morning to you.
Two good friends of mine. We got a lot of political news. I want to start by talking about something a little crazy, but there was a talent show in the last week for, Mike Winder, Amy Winder, Newton. Seemed like all the political class were there. I wasn't invited, Jim. I'm guessing you weren't invited.
They actually asked me to go and perform Hamilton. I don't know how Ben gets away with going to Republican fundraisers, but I was sick or something happened. But that just didn't seem like
Eagle
the right
Scout,
place
not Eagle
for me.
Apparently, our co-host had a star role. How did it go, Dan?
I don't know that I would call it a star role. It was a role. There were a few members of the legislature that were willing to come in and dance a river dance. And I've got to be honest, I have done many things in my life I'm not proud of. Sadly, that's one of the ones that's caught on video.
It wasn't good, huh? Well, tell me, to our listeners, what is this like? Where is it at? Who comes?
So
people do this?
It's over at the Cultural Center, over in the World Cultural Center. West Valley City. Yep. And, you know, people come out. I got to be honest. Political people are looking forward to seeing each other. Number one, we don't have a lot of friends. Let's be very honest.
It's inside baseball.
If we show up at Thanksgiving and we're trying to talk politics, no one in our family wants to do it. Nobody wants to talk to us at work this way. These are our friends, mm-hmm. whether they be Republican, whether they be Democrat. These are our friends, right?
Okay.
And
okay.
So when there's a function and we're going to nerd out and talk policy for a little while on the periphery, but at the same time have a little food. Have a little dinner and dance. Everybody has fun.
Is it true that Mayor McAdams is the only Democrat there?
No, there were other Democrats there. Okay. I mean, Kem Gardner was there. I mean, the list goes on and on. There were several Republicans who act like Democrats, so they were there too. but you had a whole host
show?
Of people.
Who took the show? Or what
of
act?
People?
Yeah.
I think you had Senator Deidre Henderson, and Representative Congresswoman Mia Love. Do their Theodosia, which is one of the lullabies from the Hamilton play.
A duet.
It's a duet, and it's usually sung by two males. And in this time, they did it as females, and it was phenomenal. I'll be honest, those two ladies have more talent in their little finger than I do my entire body.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a fantastic job singing.
Jim, I bet you have an opinion on how to use that talent.
Listen, Deidre, she is as good at talking tax policy as she is at singing.
That's,
I mean,
I
think
that.
The woman has a future in the state.
Yeah, and how about the Mia Love connection?
Jim
and I were talking before the program about how she's doing pretty well in the polls.
Let's get her back exactly where she belongs on Broadway, because the gig in Washington hasn't been going all that well for her. So I'll be the first to help her get a plane ticket back to New York so she can star there where she belongs.
Yeah, it's been going terribly. I mean, Utah has a quarterly meeting with the Speaker of the House. You know, we have a representative who's now been endorsed by a Democratic member of Congress. We have, you know, it's just really not going well for
Mia. And she's ahead in the polls.
And she's ahead in the polls. It's just, you're right, it's really bleak, Jim.
I think it's going to tighten, but I do think that Mia's holding her own quite well.
We'll see.
We'll see. Hey, let's talk about Mike Pence. So VP candidate with Donald Trump in Utah this week.
No, you weren't supposed to say the Trump word.
Okay, we're gonna. It's bear's right. ears, I it's can't
right.
say.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Mike Pence in town this week. What are you guys seeing? I mean, and then we had Donald Trump going to Mexico, meeting with the president there. Every time I turn on CNN, it's all presidential politics all the time. I'm getting some fatigue.
And it's what? We're in August?
Yes.
Now
yes.
September?
The paid advertising hasn't really started.
No. But
Jim,
it's coming to Utah for the
first
time.
Tell us your take right now, what you're seeing.
I feel sorry. I didn't think I'd ever say this, but I feel sorry for Mike Pence. I mean, can you imagine being the semi-sane one on that ticket and have to explain all of those loopy things? I mean, the fact...
Now you know how I feel when they talk about how can you be on that show with Jim DeBacchus in downtown Salt Lake and say, can you imagine? Anyway,
every week. I mean, there is a delicate, deliberate dance to foreign affairs. It's not like you're negotiating a hotel golf course deal.
Yeah.
There are pages and histories and details.
Protocols.
And you don't just say, I'm giving a speech in Phoenix anyway, and I'm going to pop in and meet with the president. This is not the way responsible governments talk to each other, and it is the epitome of the problems with Donald J.
Dan, I've been predicting that Mike Pence won't last until November, but so far he's hanging in there.
I think he's in it for the long haul. I think they now have steadier hands on the rudder.
Even with this new campaign manager, Steve Bannon?
Yeah,
he seems like
Breitbart.
He's trouble.
Yeah, but come on. Sometimes when you multiply two negatives, you get a positive. And all I'm going to say in this scenario
I read that Bannon once criticized Romney for his sons for serving an LDS mission instead of missionary service.
Or you mean instead of military service?
Instead of military service, right.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of people who don't get missionary service. I'm not gonna put it on that guy, right?
Okay.
As much as we want to marginalize that guy,
Trump
it's not
gonna.
He's not
Utah
doing
crowd.
Anything to help himself in Utah.
Yeah.
Let's just. I could go step by step on all the dumb things he said to not help himself in Utah, and I'm trying to like the guy. I really am.
Yeah.
The speaker is all over me. You should really like him. I'm trying so hard. But he does so many things that are so anti-Utah, and maybe, you know.
Can I mention this? Ludicrous statement put out by Hatch, Reyes, Chaffetz, Bishop, Niederhauser, Hughes, where they said, here's a man truly who represents Utah values. That's why we're supporting Trump and Pence. I mean, what values are you talking about? And then Herbert refused to sign it.
He dresses well on Sunday.
Herbert refused to sign it, but he's still supporting
Jim, there's
Trump.
No way to kind of like tally this up except for the Republican Party's just in a mess.
But what's more important ultimately, your party or your country?
Yeah. I'm with you.
Party. Wait. Did I say that out loud? I meant country.
Closer to home, you all have some new colleagues coming in. It looks like Herbert's made the appointment for Al Jackson's seat, Dan Hemmert. And then Mel Brown is not going to continue his challenge for the speaker seat because of those mail-in ballots. You'll get, is it Logan Wild?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Commissioner Logan Wild.
Some new faces up on the Hill.
Yeah. In the House, we're used to it. The Senate is less likely for much turnover, right? Especially Al Jackson didn't, he finished one term, right?
Yeah.
I guess he hasn't even done that. But I think Dan Hemmert will be a welcome change to the
state. I
hear
great things about him.
Yeah, he's going to be a real value
add. I like him because he gathered signatures.
I congratulated the new senator and said how much I was looking forward to getting dry cleaning at a discount. He owns the Ritzlinger chain. And I think
he's... government services to you, special favors and backroom deals.
I clean up back there. I think he's going to be a good addition. Mel Brown, I think, is a loss. His institutional wisdom, what he did for Sitla,
he had a way.
Where he's been, and he's been, I don't know, I hope it's not a Tea Party nutcase. I haven't met the guy, but we've had up there in Summit and Wasatch already a reasonable representative replaced by a total Tea Party, just what we don't need.
Oh, come on. Wait till somebody gets in and votes before you start die-casting them. But I will say this about Mel. I'm looking forward, obviously, you know, elections bring changes with colleagues in and out of the House. I'm looking forward to working with Logan Wild. Mel had a way that when it was very rare, if you can search through an entire session, it's very rare for him to stand up, but when he stood up and spoke, we all listened.
Yeah, that's Mel Brown. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. In our next segment, we're going to talk about tax incentives. Stay tuned.
This is Jim DeBacchus sitting on the left.
Jim DeBacchus' assistant Dan McKay on the right.
I'm Natalie Gochner, and I am the motherly figure in the audience here, trying to help these guys stay straight.
I beg your pardon. I'm not staying straight.
I beg your pardon. All right, we'll go. Hey, we have a visitor in the studio that is important because this week we started the first sort of domestic flights to Cuba from the U.S. in, I don't know, 50 years or something. Jim, you have a visitor. Tell us about
this. Yes, I do. Rike's here. He is living in America legally now. He was part of a high school group that was the first proud high school group going to six or seven cities around America for a month. He got to Seattle and said, you know what? I may only be 17 years old, but I'm not going home. So without family or purse or script or money or friends or phone, can you imagine the courage of this? He just said, I'm staying, and escaped out there. And now he's in Salt Lake staying with friends. And so we're bringing him in to see how American radio works.
Yeah, love to have Cuba here. Dan, isn't it nice to be an American?
Yes.
Would you stand for the national anthem?
I was wearing flag socks yesterday.
Oh. So. There you go.
Yeah, I stand for the national anthem.
In addition to these commercial flights to Cuba, football week, University of Utah plays tonight. That's exciting.
Oh, is that still a thing? Is that still a football team?
Oh, my goodness. You can feel it on campus.
Is it?
Yeah, I teach a night class on Thursdays, and so, you know, it's really disruptive to the academic mission.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Never mind parking, right?
We figure it out. We do figure it out. Let's chat about Orrin Hatch for just a minute. There's a poll out that, you know, basically says that Utahns don't think he should go for another term. I believe is he 82? Is that right? I saw that Senator McCain won his primary, and I believe he's 80. This is some pretty senior folks in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
Why would Orrin Hatch leave?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a kind of a...
would we want him to leave, Jim, right?
I'm okay with Orrin Hatch. I mean, look at Mike Lee. He makes... I like Orrin Hatch. I like what he represents.
We've got to
have
like
a crazy
like
conservative... Orrin Hatch understands negotiation. He and Ted Kennedy had that personal relationship. They worked together on CHIP, and they got things done the way they're supposed to be done. He's not that foolish kind of ideologue, Mike Lee, who sits by himself in the Senate dining room because nobody wants to sit with him because he's just an ideologue that nobody wants to be around. So if it's a choice between getting XYZ ideologue or keep an Orrin Hatch in there kind of puffed up, I'll take Hatch every day.
Yeah, well, and I would just say that Hatch, he has this quality of being someone who can work from the political center, which I've always admired in him. He now has Secret Service protection, and he is the most senior senator. I think that's great for Utah. But I do think the Senate could be lost in this election. Republicans could lose their position, and that will be interesting how that affects him. Because on the one hand, he could say, then they need me even more. Or on the other hand, he could say, it's not worth being there if we're not the majority party.
But it's not as much fun,
yeah.
I think, when
Dan,
you're not
you
a committee chair.
You track these things closely. You think the Senate will swing?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I'm hearing pretty smart people saying
I think
it
it's going to come down to two seats, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look through the entire election and where they come down, but I think they're larger symbols of places where it's contentious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Iowa and Florida, and you know, some of these Senate seats are going to be really, really interesting. But I think, you know, interestingly though, I think the GOP, if they win the presidency, will maintain the Senate. I think whichever president it comes down to, but I can't say the same for Hillary, because I think if Hillary wins the election, there could be some moral licensing that goes on where people feel excused. Oh, well, we've got Hillary as the president, so we'll keep
Republican
our Republican
Senate.
As the.
It's going to be interesting.
So that's why I think if people swing far enough for the R's will be fine, but Hillary could go either way.
Jim, in general, do you like divided government, or are you more of a proponent of getting all the Democrats in there you can?
No, I think it's a mess when they're all Democrats.
Okay.
You know, just look around at some of the states, and I know what a horrible mess it is.
This is what passed Obamacare was all Democrats, which you seem to like Obamacare.
I don't like Obamacare. I think we need a single payer.
Yeah,
you know, far
say,
enough. I think Obamacare's a wreck.
I knew where his clown show was going today, and that's exactly.
Good.
I knew that's where it was.
Boy, did I set that up!
You
didn't
set
I?
That trap like crazy because none of them wanted Obamacare. They wanted to pass Obamacare, make it painful enough so that we could get single payer.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I don't think
it's
we're
nice
smart
to
enough
someone...
to have done that, but
no,
I'll take it as a strategy.
Good. No. That
all
was
right.
Laid out a long time.
So I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but Governor Herbert's having another summit coming up, an energy summit. Two points to comment on there. Eventually, governors get tired of holding summits, and eventually the public gets tired of them holding summits.
Do they?
I do think so. I think there can be fatigue, right? Because summits are supposed to be like, you know, in the Rose Garden and you have peace in the Middle East. And when you have a summit every other month, it's sort of like, what? This isn't a summit. This is just a meeting.
So you think they should change it to fundraiser? Because that's really what these summits seem to become.
I didn't think of that angle. I just thought of it as, you know, how
they charge admission. Uh-huh. You know, and, you know, sometimes if you're a legislator, they'll extend you an invitation to the summit. If not, you know.
Interesting.
It's a way for Zions Bank and utilities and everybody else to throw money into the Herbert campaign but not have to fess up to it as they sponsor these things. I have added up to here, and I absolutely told the governor's office and—
No more summits for Jim.
I'm not going to their— Dumbass, sorry, but it is their energy summit in Uinta County. Their keynote speaker, is a nasty climate change denier, and he's a propagandist. And if that's not bad enough, he puts regularly on his blog the personal phone numbers and emails of scientists who write papers on climate change. That's nasty.
That
and to invite him to the state of Utah at taxpayers' expense, I'm sorry I used that word, but I'm more sorry that our government is paying for propagandists like that to come to Utah and fake out the people of Carbon County and coal counties and pretend that coal is the future of Utah when it's not. I'm sorry to be serious about that.
Dan,
but
Jim, do you have any idea how much coal it takes to produce one solar array?
It doesn't matter.
It does. It all matters. And what you're saying is you can exclude one without taking in the other. And I'm telling you, you have to look at the whole picture. If you're going to look at all these alternative fuels, et cetera, anyways.
Jim, I think we have to hold Dan accountable. How much coal does it take to produce a solar?
Well, I was reading Malcolm Gladwell's little podcast or listening to his podcast the other day, and he mentioned it. So, unfortunately, I don't have the number at the top of my head, and I'm not going to do it.
You and I, he's terrific.
You know, I find Governor
Herbert. He just gets us to think outside of
it. I find Governor Herbert very data driven. I think he's quite the numbers guy, and I think the summits do some good. I just think there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I just remember in the Levitt world, eventually, it's sort of like, maybe there's another different way we should try to exert leadership.
But yes, big fundraisers after and before all of them. It is a money cow for the governor. And so whether or not it's doing the state any good, I think, is he probably isn't going to run again after this time. Maybe that will end this kind of
summiting.
You mentioned the podcast of our friend.
Yeah, so
it's a good podcast.
I just give a shout out just in addition to the Both Sides of the Aisle podcast, which is
available on iTunes.
Available on iTunes. And it has your three favorite co-hosts about 75% of the time.
Pretty good.
Which is something that should be talked about. But in addition to that, Malcolm Gladwell has one called Revisionist History that I've started listening to this last week. And it's phenomenal.
Jim, Dan and I had a conversation about tax incentives. I wanted to chat about it for just a second. I was in a meeting with Dean Singleton, former owner of the Tribune, and he made the comment that we asked him, in Colorado, what would they be doing with this Facebook deal? And he said, you know, in Colorado, we kind of take the attitude that it's a privilege to live here. And then he kind of, you know, elaborated on the point that you know, we have a great quality of life and great education system, and you know, we don't have to do giveaways to have companies be here. I thought it was interesting.
You know, right now, Facebook is in the tomb and the deal is dead, but I think they're maneuvering around there. I think they could rise. Really, virtually every decent broker that's looking at this is saying somebody missed the negotiating table at the state of Utah because the governor is running this show. And if you don't believe that, you don't know what's going on. Whether or not he approves all of this money or not, he's the one that's getting everybody to call. He's the one that is running the strings, and he doesn't quite have the guts to come out and say, yeah, I'm for it. As far as I know, he hasn't said anything on it. But to take $250 million and put it into a data center is... and pretend that over the next 20 years, we're not going to be able to get better occupants there. That for even the same amount of money, there's some weird missing button here. What? Why are they so insistent on this company at this time that they're willing to give everything away? It's just,
Dan,
it doesn't make sense.
I think you can quibble about, you know, the details of this deal and obviously dead and, you know, some of the process and everything. I have noticed, though, there's, and Jim won't like this, but a lot of business leaders have said to me, the state's missing something here, and they see something in having Facebook here that has effects after the fact that are worth it.
It has an intrinsic value that is difficult to measure.
Yeah, and then once the infrastructure's there for Facebook, it's there for other things, and they've watched how it opens doors. It sort of makes Salt Lake City a more attractive place to be just by virtue of that brand. And I don't know what I think about it, but I've had several business leaders that aren't part of this deal. They have no self-interest here, just saying, you know.
Well, if you're in the business world of bringing companies out for sale and you want to sell a company, the most difficult element of those companies to sell and assign a value to is goodwill. Mm-hmm. Right, and goodwill is really known as what the company's name is worth, what their reputation
Nike,
is worth.
Oh,
Nike,
know, yeah.
You know, one of those. But you know, so when you're buying the company, you're buying this goodwill. And some, you know, if you're buying a dentist practice, there's a certain amount of goodwill that goes in there. But if you're buying Facebook, there's a certain amount of goodwill. And I think the business leaders probably have it right.
Probably see that,
but you can't leverage so much of the future for it. And I think that's the
concern. Jim, to your point, it's saying that. You know, there's something that's worth having them here, but the 240 was too much. The $240 million was too much.
Yeah, when you do
what's the right number, Jim?
We gave Adobe $38 million for 1,000 jobs that pay $75,000 a job, and the footprint there is so much smaller. $39 million versus $260+ million. I mean, it is. There's something. Something rotten here. The governor keeps saying, this is as good as it gets. This is our economy. This is it. We're still 50th in spending on education. Mm-hmm. So if this is as good as it gets, why are we giving things away? Can't we have enough patience to figure and be optimistic about our future that we're not giving away $250 million? This is just not right. And I do understand blue sky, and it's important, but not this blue.
Yeah, interesting. We need to go to gripes, and I don't know what you all have got in store, but I just, Jim, you can gripe, but it can't deal with bear's ears.
Okay, next week we're going to talk about one of these weeks because you guys
He's
have
wearing
had
a bear's
silent,
ears t-shirt.
Silent. My gripe is that the Natalie Gochner hasn't quite gotten enough publicity yet on the fabulous new Kemp C. Gardner Policy Institute, which is really going to change the profile of data in the state of Utah. And it wouldn't have happened without Natalie and her ability to put a million things together in this beautiful building and to get the LDS Church to turn it over and get goodness knows how many millions out of Kim Gardner and squeeze everything and get money out of the legislature. This is going to be the kind of data-driven information that the state desperately needs, and it happened because of Natalie, and if she had been a man, she'd be governor.
Yeah, that is nice. I will say four names, Clark Ivory, President Pershing, Jason Perry. Those are important. Oh, I got to do one more name. Brad Wilson.
Dan McKay. I'm
just
kidding. Come on. Well, I had nothing to do with it.
All right.
I had nothing to do with it.
Roger Boyer, Kim Gardner.
Yeah. So, you know, we are again taping another show, and it is still hot. So I know I'm beginning to sound consistent.
Like Jim sounds with.
But
bear's
I,
ears.
But I am boiling hot in here, lava hot, to be honest. And, you know, bear's ears. Pretty soon my gripe about this will be out of the thing. But in the meantime, here we are. And Natalie has a great coat on today. She's not getting enough love for her wonderful coat.
I've got yellow on today. Hey, I have a gripe, and I think it might offend Dan, so I got to be really careful how I say this. But there's a real common thing in you know, conversational discussions about public policy where someone will say, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, why can't we say at the beginning of the day, after a good night's rest?
After a good night's rest.
Because I find I make my best decisions when I sleep on them. Mm. So I want to challenge Dan on his oratory. So you're talking about a tax policy and you say, but at the beginning of the day, what does it really mean? What do you think, Jim?
I like it. And I particularly in the age of Facebook, sometimes it's better to take a deep breath. And put it on only my eyes before you send out something blistering.
I'm going to update my colloquialisms, and by next week I'll have some new ones.
Beginning of the day. Let's see how it works.
At the end of the day, that's good advice.
Yeah. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I've been joined by Senator Jim DeBacchus and Representative Dan McKay. The program is produced by Ross Chambliss. Thank you for listening.